Now, as we go over history, we will discover that there have always been kings and queens and leaders that have come to their throne or have come to their position of authority from their childhood. I'm not going to give you a list of all the various ones, but I'll give you one particular example, and it was one of the kings of England, and his name was Edward VI. He was the son of Henry VIII. I think some of you will start to learn about Henry VIII in school, a bad man, a wicked man for many different reasons, and always wanting a son. When he did have a son, it would be Edward VI. Now, he came to the throne after Henry's death at the tender age of 9 years. So again, this was a very young age. But as with many kings and rulers in past times, there would be someone called a Lord Protector. They were too young to really reign and to govern because of their immaturity. So someone was there in their place. These individuals were called Lord Protectors. Now, the wonderful thing about Edward VI, because he took to the throne in 1546, so that's quite a number of years ago. The wonderful thing about Edward VI is that even though his reign was very short, he died at a tender age of only 7 years of age in 1553, sorry, not seven, of 16 years of age. But his reign itself was one that was marked by the blessing of God upon it. And it was a time of great freedom for Christians, for evangelical Protestants, in the country of England especially, because prior to Edward being king, there was great oppression and there was great difficulty when it came to sharing the gospel and worshipping God as how he reveals himself in the word of God. So when Edward VI became king and when he was ruler and others came around him to guide him in the right way, it was a time of great blessing for the country, and boys and girls and adults and people began to read the scriptures which only years previously had been given to them for to read. Sadly, his life came to an end and afterward was ushered in a very awful and barbaric reign of Mary I, who is also known or dubbed as Bloody Mary because of the many awful martyrdoms of Christians in that particular age. So history reminds us of young rulers. But boys and girls, and everyone who is here this morning, the Bible also tells us that there were individuals who became kings at very young and tender ages. There were two, especially, that come to our thinking and our attention this morning. There were many that did wrong, as I said. There's a little phrase in Scripture that describes the wicked and the ungodly rulers. And the Bible says they did that which was evil. Now listen, young people, in the sight of God. You know, there are many things that we do to please people. We want to be accepted in the sight of others, don't you? When you're at school, children, you want to be accepted before the eyes of people. When you think of the eyes of someone, you're thinking of how they think of you, how they have an opinion of you. Well, the Bible says that there are many people in the Bible times and they did that which was evil or bad in the eyes of God. They thought it was maybe acceptable, even though it wasn't. And others may not have, you know, said something that was wrong, but in the eyes of God, it was wrong. And we should always remember, whether we're young or old this morning, that that's how we live. That's how we function as professing Christians, in the eyes of the Lord. We rejoice that the Bible gives us two young kings who did the very opposite. One of them was called Joash, and you'll read about Joash in 2 Chronicles 24. Do you know that Joash reigned for 40 years? It was a long reign, and he began at 7 years of age. Can you imagine any of you that are 7 years of age? There might be some of you here this morning that age, and you became a king or a queen, and you had all that authority and responsibility. Yes, someone was there to help you and to nurture you, but you were the figurehead. You were the one that represented the kingdom. What a tremendous responsibility. Joash was 7 years of age. Joash wasn't perfect, by the way. There were still some things which he did that wasn't necessarily right in the eyes of God, but he was a vast improvement. And he was one who lived in the fear of God. That was the important thing. But you know, God had someone better than Joash to come along. And so we come to think about another young man who is called Josiah. Josiah. Josiah's reign was an even purer reign. And the interesting thing about Josiah is that God places Josiah into the history of Judah and that southern part of the nation of Israel years prior to one of the most awful events they would ever experience. And that was their captivity when the Babylonians would come and capture them. And they would be imprisoned for 70 years, but before a great spiritual desolation or declension, there was a period of revival and reformation. God was pleased to hear the cries of his people at that particular time. Indeed, you will find that there in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, that even though the judgment was still going to fall upon the people of Judah, that because Josiah had a tender heart, that he would have a peaceable reign and he would be delivered and brought up to his fathers in peace and in salvation. So young people this morning and everyone who is here, they're present. Josiah is where we're going to think about this morning. And I trust that because of his godly reign, that we too will learn much from him, irrespective of our age or how long or how short we've been a Christian for. So what can we learn about Josiah? First of all, Josiah prepared his ways before God. I want you to listen to these outlines at once and try to remember them if you can. Josiah prepared his ways before God. That's what he did. You have your Bible in front of you. Look there at verse 2 with me. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and he declined. That just means he didn't turn aside. You know when sometimes you're going on a journey, and I speak to the children just now because I think this is true of every child in some respect. You know when your parents are taking you on a journey and they're saying, look, we have to go to school or we have to go to this shop or we're going to see some relatives or some friends. The parent has a journey. They want to go in a certain direction, but you find something interesting, don't you? You find a brick wall to jump on. You find a fence to climb on. You find something on the floor, that's what mine do, from nowhere, and you pick these up, and you turn aside, don't you? You decline or you go away from the way that your parent wants you to go. Now, that may be harmless. We're not saying it's, you know, a really bad thing, but it's an example of what the word means. Josiah, he set a path, and he says, I'm preparing my ways before God, and I'm going to walk with God all the days of my life. In verse 3, it says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, listen to those words, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God. Josiah is a fascinating character in the Bible. Do you know that he was one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus? After the flesh, of course. You know the whole line of those that preceded Jesus Christ? Well, he was one of them. If you look at Matthew, and you look at the record of where Jesus Christ came from, you'll read of Josiah there. He was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. We know that he reigned for 31 years. And we know how he reigned, don't we? We know it was a good and a godly reign in the eyes of God. But it wasn't really until he was 16. Even though he was 8 when he took to the throne, he was 16 when he began to exert himself. That just means when he began to show how he wanted to walk with God in his evil generation. And if you look at verse 3 in that same chapter, you will find that it says that in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. So what you have three stages of his life. When he began to understand more so, and when he began to thoroughly purge and to walk before God in a pure way. You know, there was always a way in which the kings were measured in the Bible. And again, if you just read those verses, you'll see it for yourself. You notice in verse 2, it says that he walked in the ways of David, his father. Now, think about this. Was David his father? Direct father? No, it was Amnon, as we shall see in a moment. David wasn't even his grandfather. That was Manasseh. It wasn't even his great-grandfather. That was Hezekiah. But the idea being is that God always measured kings by David. David was the example. David wasn't perfect, as we have known in our studies, but he was an example because of his devotion and his heart, because his heart was after God. David, young people, as all of us know this morning, is in the Bible a very great picture of Jesus Christ. And what I say to each of us here this morning is that you don't measure yourself by me. And you don't compare yourself to another person who sits in this same room, but rather every Christian should measure their life by Christ. The Bible says that we should consider him. So when it says that Josiah walked in the ways of David, it's a reminder that we should walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. Follow him all the days of our life. Remember, Josiah was not forced to walk this way. This was a work of God within his own heart. And you know, it's quite a touching picture that you read of in Josiah, because there is some important information given to us about his ancestry. His father, that was Amnon, you can read about him in the end of chapter 33. He had a very short reign as a king, only a couple of years, and his servants, they conspired against him and they killed him. But in that very short period of time, he was an evil king. Which says to me that Josiah in those very early years didn't have a godly influence in the home, a direct godly influence. Can you imagine that? Most of us here, if we're boys and girls, we might have parents, or we have aunties or uncles, and they want to bring us up, don't they? They want to read with you and pray with you, and they bring you into the house of God, young people. And I know that in your young age, even the little ones, it's not easy to understand these things. But some of you are getting like Josiah now. Some of you are 8 years old. Some of you are getting into double figures. And it's important that we start to appreciate what we have by way of a Christian influence and upbringing. Because you know that when you go outside and you go to school, and when you go to college and university, that that's few and far between these days. And even people that say they're Christian haven't really quite understood what it means to be a Christian. All sorts of strange things and ideas and notions. So Josiah's early years, they weren't the easiest. He didn't have a godly father. He did have a remarkable granddad, though, and that was Manasseh. He was one of the worst of the people. I can't even try to tell you how bad he was. But God did a wonderful thing in Manasseh's life and saved him towards the end. And Manasseh became a man of God in his final few years. But you go back further, and Josiah had a great-great-granddad, or a great-granddad, rather. I was trying to describe the great when I said great, and I was getting confused there. So he had a remarkable great-grandfather, Hezekiah. And he's a tremendous example for us in godliness. But you know, it doesn't matter who his great-grandfather was, young people, or his granddad, or his father. Do you know what really mattered? And this is true for young and old this morning. It mattered about the individual life. That's the important thing. And again, just turn your attention to the Bible. It says in verse 3 that when he was yet young, he began to seek after God. So boys and girls, you might have the privilege of a Christian influence, and I thank God for that, as you should. But that's not enough for you. You have a responsibility to ensure that you seek God for yourself through Jesus Christ, that you know him. You can't be carried to heaven on the shoulders of your parents. You must walk with Christ and know him yourself. And also there's encouragement that even if we don't have a Christian influence, I think many of us do as little ones, but some might not. And there are many homes that don't. It's not the end for them. God can still work miracles. And so what about our witnessing? How do we influence other boys and girls? What about at school and at home and so forth? Let's look about Josiah for a few moments here. I noticed the following, that he looked to God, he sought God. The Bible says that he sought him, he seeked him. He went after him. While, look at verse 3, while he was yet young. Now here's an interesting thing, how old was he? It says that in the 8th year of his reign. So here's a quick question to get some of the little ones awake here this morning. Make sure you're staying with me. In the 8th year of his reign, he began when he was 8. So 8 years of reigning. It says that when he was young, he began to seek God. It's simple maths. So what's the answer? No, not 19. We're getting there. 8 plus 8. Lucy? 16. Okay, so 16 years old. The Bible says, while he was yet young. Now, anyone who's 16 here or older won't think of yourself as being young in that sense. But biblically speaking, I suppose that's really what the point is here. Now, I can't say when a child reaches a certain age by which they become a Christian. Obviously, it's impossible for a little baby, unless God works sovereignly within that little infant's heart, to exercise verbal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't draw a line and say, you know, it's just 16 or 18 or 12 or whatever the age is for some people. The Bible doesn't give that to us. But what I will say to you is the moment you're sitting here and it starts to register in your mind and in your heart, and you're thinking, God's speaking to me. I'm convicted of my sin. You're never too young to seek God. That's the point. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, what does it say? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Do you know, boys and girls, that age 16 was when I was saved. That was my age when the Lord worked graciously in my heart. But I still look back and remember years before I was 16, and they were wasted years, and I still regret them now. The Bible says, remember now. Remember now. Don't wait till you think, you know, I'm going to wait till I'm 25, and I've got my job and house. You're going to get a house to about 65, I'm afraid, the way things are going here, but you've got everything that you want and you need, and then I'll make time for God. You know, young people, the Bible says, remember now, God, in days of your youth, while the evil days come not, because as years progress, temptation comes by, sin starts to come into your life, you get harder against God. The majority of people in the history of Christendom are saved in your age. Not in older age, in the tender years of life. So I say to you, as early as possible, seek God, as Josiah did. He prepared his ways before God. Secondly, he purified the worship of God. If I put it into more simple language, he took it seriously. He took the house of God seriously. He took, if I can use the expression, church seriously, and the worship of God. In verse 3, it says, in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. It says from the higher places, the groves and the carved images. And if you're not sure what that just means, it's just idolatry. And we know that idolatry is a gross sin. It's a violation. It's a breaking of God's holy command. And the next scene that we read in chapter 34 and verse 3 is of a young man of 20 years old. 20 years old. A man now who has progressed from an 8-year-old. To a 16-year-old, into a young man. And now he's preparing more intensively his ways before God. And he's demonstrating that God is real to him. And he's living it out within his life. And he understands, and it's a remarkable thing when we shall see in a moment why, he understands that idolatry is a sin. Now, many Christians today, they look at themselves and they would sort of recoil in horror and almost be puzzled as to how people could make images and higher places, various places they would ascend to worship false gods and so forth, and say, well, Christians don't do that today, do they? They don't worship idols. We don't have idols in the church, do we? We don't have a crucifix on the wall or a statue of Mary or other idols to bow down and worship before. We're not venerating brick or stone or wood or any such thing. And so we leave the building and we're not guilty of idolatry. And yet all the time we are. Do you know why? Because we have made idols in our hearts. And that's the worst kind. Because no one sees it. We can have idols in our hearts. We can put things before God. And really, the essential truth is this, young and old this morning, if we put anything before God, it is an idol. He is to be worshipped first and foremost. We're to love him first and foremost. And so it's a staggering thing. When he went throughout his various regions, he had control of different areas, Manasseh and Ephraim and so forth. And he was there and he was making amends. He was ridding all the places of all the idolatry and so forth. And it was emphatic. And I think it teaches us some very important lessons. It teaches me, let alone you, it teaches me the thorough nature of godly living before God. He was 20. Some of you might be getting towards that age this morning. Some of you are very far away, of course, from 20 years old. But some of you might be getting towards that stage. How do you think many 20-year-olds are living in this world in London? Not just Friday nights and Saturday nights, but Sunday nights, Monday nights, throughout the whole week. How do you think they spend their time, where they are, what they're doing, what they're thinking, what they're imagining, what they're scheming? Do you think we have many Josiahs in London? I don't think we do. Do you think we have many who are like Josiah, who would give those prime years? Because that's what they are, your prime years, entirely to God. That's what he does. He is everything, the mark of godly leadership. And my friend, we need godly leaders. Godly leaders within the church will only arise from children who know their God and taught the ways of God and are saved and brought to Christ. And as a result, there will be a careful worship of God. You see, when he was dismantling all the idolatry, it says that he ground all the images to powder. It was an intense thing that he was doing. It was emphatic. People would have stood by and go, what is he doing? He's not just putting it to one side. Sometimes we're like that with sin, aren't we? We just shelve it to one side and we'll just put it there and we'll come back again in future days. No, he grinds it to powder. He puts it to death. Worshipping God only. Because he took the worship of God seriously. You know, our worship here in our church, we like to have it as reverent worship for a reason. Because we should take God seriously. He who is holy beyond our understanding. The one who is the everlasting God. And so I say to you, even young people, be careful about your worship. Even when you sit here, we try to teach you to sit well. I think for the younger ones, it's even difficult. But as you get older, pay attention. It's not easy. I know your attention span slips away, but just give attention to it. When the word is preached, when you sing the hymns, be a Josiah and purify the worship of God. Lastly, Josiah prioritized the word of God. You know, if we finished just where we finished there with Josiah, it would be enough. But you know, that was only the beginning of what was going to be a time of reformation. And this is remarkable. The most important moment of his life and for the kingdom came in his 18th year when he was 26 years old. We've seen the progression of his life. The event happened as part of an overall sort of repair job of the house of God because it had fallen to disrepair. And so there was Hilkiah, the high priest. There was Shaphan, the scribe. There were various skillful workers that were employed to repair. And in fact, some were there who were skilled in music. I'm not sure exactly the relevance. I don't think it just means that they were playing music at the time, but rather that they were skilled. They had minds that were structured in such a way that they could give attention to detail. And the best were chosen to get the house of God into a state of acceptability and to repair once again. Now, something remakable happened. Put your hand in the air for the young people, of course. I don't want just a whole show of hands. Put your hand in the air if you've ever lost something and then you found it. Have you ever lost something or found it? Yeah? And the joy that you have, the happiness when you lose and you find. Okay, you can put your hands down before they fall off. Okay, hands down. So he finds, or doesn't he find it, it's Hilkiah, the high priest. He finds a book, a special book. The Bible says, and you'll read it for yourself there in verse number 14, and onwards. And you can read that particular passage of scripture. It says there in verse 16, Shaphan carried the book to the king after it had been found and it was read in the presence of King Josiah. This was the book of the law of Moses. So we might assume it was the Pentateuch, first five books, or at least a partial remnant of that same particular portion of Holy Scripture. For more than 50 years, it had not been opened and read in the house of God, and therefore we imagine in the eyes and the ears of the people. Now, we can only speculate as to what happened to it. It would seem maybe that because the temple had become like something of a storehouse, it wasn't in use. Imagine this place of worship. Imagine we just all turned away from God and we gave ourselves to idolatry and we built other places and idols outside. And little by little, as the years go by, the back room fills up with boxes and that room there fills up with chairs and we start putting things into here that we don't want. We're no longer sitting here. And all the time, the Bible is in the pulpit, just sitting here. And it's closed and it's covered in dust. And imagine 50 years, someone comes and is going through all the books, boxes and all the things which are scattered around and looks, what was this book? And opens up the book. And it's the Word of God. And it's not been read for 57 years. It's not been read. We thought about Tyndale for 1,000 years in Latin. Not 57 years, 1,000 years. People were religious, but they didn't read the Bible because they couldn't. They weren't allowed to. Well, what a wonderful thing. But it had a tremendous impact on Josiah, because when it was read to him, he realized how much his people had sinned and how they deserved the judgment of God. And so the judgment was going to fall. That was the words of the prophetess that came afterwards and gave the word of God. This wasn't going to stop. But because Josiah humbled himself and was tender and repented and reformed himself and corrected himself and brought the people to worship God, they were spared for a time to enjoy the very presence and the blessing of God. Young people, I say to you, do not underestimate the importance of the Word of God in your life. Adults who are here, if you're fathers and mothers, don't allow the Bible to be a closed book in your home, please. Don't let whole days go by without reading it to your children and reading it for your own selves. Don't mimic the times before Josiah, because we have that too much around us. God forbid the church to fall into such a place as well. And do we not see sometimes Christendom, the Christian church, like the temple? It was deteriorating. It was falling apart. It was filled with rubbish. And the word of God was hidden. And that's the life of many Christians. It's deteriorating. I'm not just saying it's unwell, but they're spiritually weak. It's filled with rubbish. And the Bible is not hidden within the heart. What's the answer? It's not that difficult. It's open up the book of God and read the word of God again. Treasure it. God can do great and mighty things through it. So young people, and each of us, prepare your ways before God, purify the worship of God, and prioritize the word of God in your life. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts. Amen.